From Song of Zazen, Hakuna Kaku. How boundless and free is the sky of samadhi, how bright the full moon of wisdom. Truly, is anything missing now? So maybe 10 minutes ago, I was sitting, and what felt like was missing to me was my Dharma talk. I didn't really have anything to talk about. And I didn't really panic, which is interesting. I just kind of wondered what would happen. And we had read this chant, I had asked for this, because that particular line was in my heart today. Truly, is anything missing now? And this is a chant. Hakuin is an important ancestor of ours in our tradition, in our school. Hakuin is often credited with revitalizing the practice of Zen in Japan. I suppose it would depend who you talk to, but his feeling was that there was a sense of going through the motions in practice, and that it had become rather dead. And his practice was anything but. His practice was one of a kind of profound intensity and of introspection, a sense of deep dissatisfaction with his life, with his ordinary mind, a sense of a great recognition of suffering in himself and in the world, a longing to heal himself and the world. And I don't think he sensed that same kind of burning in practice. So he is often, stories are told of him, and just such a great intensity. His own personal autobiographies reveal a great intensity of emotion, perhaps not always healthy, to these extreme places, extreme levels. But having said that, he experienced many, what he describes as many different awakenings. And they really just made him burst into tears on multiple occasions. And at some point he found himself given permission to teach himself transmission, and then also felt the desire to encourage others in their practice. And he used koans to do this. He's a great koan teacher who brought the koan tradition back to life. And of course, one of the most famous of his is what is the sound of the single hand. So this is one of his pieces, and we used to read it frequently. It used to be something that we read maybe every other week in our practice. And so it kind of burrowed its way in to my heart and my mind. Some of the lines are striking, and I'm not going to go through all of them. I just want to be with this one line with you all. Is anything missing now? So just to even put it out there and see what comes up for you, to just sit with that a bit. I think it's so interesting the power of the narrative mind, the discursive mind. The mind, we think about the mind of Hakuin when he was seeking enlightenment. He certainly would have, in those times, said, yes, something's missing. And without that intensity of practice, we also wouldn't have seen realization on his part. Many of us might at this time feel that what's missing in this world is peace. And who would I be to say, you know, oh no, you're wrong. Things are fine. There are times in our lives where it's so clear to us that something is missing. It might be a loved one. It might be someone we've lost. It might be a job that we like. It might be a relationship that we seek. Or we might feel lonely. So, as you know, in this practice, we are not about any kind of spiritual bypass. We're not about, like, just telling ourselves, oh, everything is actually fine. You know, it's not about trying to create a different narrative that replaces the one that may be arising for us in a given moment. That's not the deepest kind of healing. You know, maybe puts a Band-Aid on for a little bit. So then what is this line, truly? Is there anything missing now? So, when I had no talk to offer you, I just sat in a kind of wonder. And interestingly, my stomach started to give the talk. It started to kind of do its own little song for you all. And I was super appreciating it, because I noticed that there were a few others in the room whose stomachs started to respond. It was like we were incommunicado, or, you know, that's the opposite. We were, so my stomach would sing out and someone else's would go back. It reminded me of this gorgeous passage in the end of the first chapter of Mice and Men. And in the end of the chapter, there's these two men who go to sleep by a river. They're camping out. And off in the, they're kind of described as being two sides to the, of this next, they're next to a river, and on one side of the river, there's these mountains that rise up. And there's a sense of wilderness. And on the other side, there's a ranch maybe a quarter mile up the road. And on the mountainside, a coyote starts to do its barking in the distance, and however you hear that, but this kind of echoing through the dark night. And then from the ranch, a dog answers. And I just felt like this deep connection between the wild and the settled areas. The wild coyote and the tame dog. The way that in our mind we draw this hard line between, you know, the wilderness and what, civilization. But somehow the weeds come up through the cracks in the pavement. Truly, is anything missing now? Is it possible that all these things can be true at once, that there can be things that are missing and that our hearts can be broken, that we can be searching and seeking, that we can be angry and discouraged, that we can feel like life isn't the way it should be. And at the very same time, notice the way that everything is exactly as it is. Another line that's been really sticking with me lately, it's this beautiful line from the Vimalakirti Sutra. It's actually a little series of lines that I want to go into with you, just briefly. So the essence of it is, Manjushri is asking, Manjushri, this Bodhisattva of wisdom, is asking Vimalakirti, how do we save all beings? How do we liberate all beings? How can we bring about great peace for all beings? Do you see how something's missing in that question? And this is the Bodhisattva of wisdom asking this. The Bodhisattva, one who has vowed to save all beings, how can I do it? And Vimalakirti answers, practice mindfulness. Such a simple response, you know? And this is what we do here. We practice awareness. We practice, you know, feeling our foot as it steps on the ground. We practice hearing that stomach as it sings out into the universe. And the universe replies, we practice mindfulness. But Manjushri still isn't satisfied. He says, well, how do I practice mindfulness? And Vimalakirti answers, practice that which never arises and that which never ceases. Now, with your discursive mind, if you look for that which never arises, you won't find it. And if you look for that which never ceases, you won't find it. You might think it's my life, but of course our life ends. You might think it's the universe, but how many infinite numbers of universes have come and gone? So it may not be something that we can articulate with the mind, with the thinking mind. So it's like a koan. How do you save all beings? Practice that which never arises and that which never ceases. And that is what we are practicing here this evening. That is our practice of shikantaza. That is our practice of sitting in this way. The moment the mind tries to tell us what it is, we realize how just incapable this little story-making creature is. Oh, I know what it is. It's now. Well, now just is gone. Wait, no, it's now. Oh, now. Mind ever grasping. But those little tiny conceptions are so just incapable of doing what our practice does. That's a little humble pie for us all, I think. It's like that great story of the nun practicing, and she's walking with a pail of water, and she notices that the moon is in the pail of water, and she thinks, how beautiful I have the moon! And then the bucket bottom falls out, and she wakes up. This thing can't be contained. Not by conceptions of emptiness, not by conceptions of form, not by the Eightfold Path, not by images of Buddha. There's a wonderful koan. Someone asked Joshu, does a dog have Buddha nature? And Buddha answers, yes. Joshu answers, yes. And so the monk asks him, how did the dog squeeze all the Buddha nature inside his skin? And Joshu replies, well, I'll save that for another time. How can you squeeze it all in your little skull? In your words, in your thoughts. This is why we say not knowing is most intimate. There is a kind of perfection, a kind of peace that we tap into in this practice. It is not through denial. It's not through repression of our difficult times. Just let them be. Let it all be. But if you can, stay a bit curious. Truly, is there anything missing now? Thank you.